Alright guys, so without wasting your time, let's just go through the list of what I'm gonna be doing so you know what the fuck's happening. 'Cause sorry for the no frills stuff here, but I've got a lot of things to do throughout the day, and editing a video to have effects going on it is just not one of those things I wanna do. So let's just break it down. Maybe I can write it here. First thing, how to deal with the stylus. Okay, hardware. Whoops, hardware. Then the stylus software. That's the Wacom drivers. The Lazy Nozomi. I'm not really covering it, I'm just talking about it. So while you're watching, if you're thinking I'm gonna fucking go in depth on it, it's too much to handle in one video anyway. So you're just gonna be made aware that there's other options than what you're just the hardware, software, and the drawing program. And then the Sai, paint tool Sai, just showing you where to go dig around to get your pressure settings and how to get the best kind of results out of what you're doing. So off to the first video, which is how to destroy your own pen here. I'm not even I forgot to even show you how to put it back together. You'll figure it out. Pay fucking attention to what you're doing, guys. Don't just take something apart never knowing how to put it together. You know better. Hey, this is how you do this. Maybe there's enough light here, so I can turn this on. That's too bright. All right, so there's a tip here. Just kind of pull that off. You got to take the sleeve off. Okay. And then you got to just really, sometimes these are really tight on. You got to just really massage. You can see it coming apart. Let me see if I can get a screwdriver for this. Right, so you just want to pry these. Usually these aren't that hard to separate, but some of them are. You do not want to yank this. You just want to work it back and forth. Okay, so step one, always hold this rear part down. There's a spring in there, and if you don't take care of keeping it face down, the spring will come out. Thankfully, this one's kind of oh, there it is. See, look at that. Oh, jeez, everything. You know, I don't really ever never use these anyway. So if you care about that spring being in there the right way, leave this thing facing down. You can see here, there's a screw. Can you see it? Let's see if I can get. No, let's see if I can. There you go. This screw, I can never remember if it's left or right. Basically, when they make these, they have to pull this screw in here to fit within the range of the electromagnetic what's that makes the thing work. If it's too much to the left, no matter if it's being pressed or not, it will always draw, which is bad. And if it's too much to
Did I say the left? If it's too much one way, it will always draw even if it's not pressed. And if it's too much the other way, you have to press too hard and your range is too small. So what you're trying to do is get it right before you have to actually do contact. You want to have it just set so that as soon as it hits contact, it starts registering it. But if you want it to have the best sensitivity, it has to be right before it starts drawing even without contact. So this is a lot of annoying, finicky little tiny screw moving, and you're doing this very small in very small amounts. I think a quarter pull will throw the whole thing out. So you want to do this, you know, like that much. I barely moved it, but I did. Then you kind of draw and you see what's... The problem is, of course, in a, without the sleeve, it's hard to really get a feel for how it is. So often what I'll do is I'll throw it in here. Oh, God. When these things break. You don't get it, guys. When these things break, that's $80. You got to buy another one for $80. They're ridiculously overpriced. Okay, so basically, you put it like this, you draw with it, you see where it's at, and then you move the screw again until it's in the right spot. Believe it or not, these don't come out of the factory properly set. The person setting these isn't a fucking artist. They don't know what they're doing. They're just getting it within a mathematical range or some sort of test range, but it is not set for an artist. It is just set to some sort of weird, inconsistent default. I want to say, I said default, but it's not default. I have four styluses and they're all set completely differently. And they all behave differently and you will never be able to make two styluses behave exactly the same. I don't know why. I don't know if it's hardware. I don't know if it's the pen, but anyway. So that's this part.
All right. So next step you want to look at is your Wacom tablets. I don't whack them. All right. Okay. So when you call up Wacom, that's what they call themselves. So if ever you're wondering what they're fucking call themselves, it's not Wacom, it's Wacom. Wacom tablets, like that's what they'll say when you call them on the phone. So, you know, some companies don't know how to name themselves. Same deal with Asus, Asus. Anyway, moving on. When you're here, you want to go to your grip pen setting. And so here's how this works. All right. When you're here, you want your pen to do two things. You want it to fit your personal preference as far as pressure goes, and you want to reduce the amount of artifacts created while drawing. So one of the things that happens is shoelacing, which is pretty annoying, and it's usually when there's a square blob at the tip of a drawing here. Maybe I can simulate it like this here. It's hard to show it. Anyway, but you can't really see it because I've minimized it. Now, you're going to want to probably copy what I have here, but that's wrong. You don't do that. What you do is you find where you're... First of all, let me just explain a few things that's going on here. This is where the pen picks up, okay? If it's set to zero, it picks up the microsecond there's any pressure on the tip. I don't particularly want that because one of the things that happens is that the weight I put down at the beginning is actually heavier than the weight I really want about a microsecond later. Just because maybe my hand is heavier, just the way I draw, but I can't actually use this like a brush. I use this, I expect a bit of weight to go down and then I get it in. If you have it too close, it just personally, it means that I'll get a big blob than a small blob. It'll look more like this all the time because I'm faking this, but this is what it ends up looking like. A big blob, then small, then big again. So if I cut it out, then all I get is instead of the first initial dab down, it gets ignored, and then after that I get my line. Next is your curve. All this means is that if it's low like this, it just spends more time waiting for the input to increase before it draws. And if it's high, then it goes right into fat mode really fast. So this just allows you to give a little more pressure tweaking. So I put it here because I want it to forgive me a little more, but still start drawing right at the offset. This last one is pretty important. I particularly hate having to press all the way down on the maximum extent of my stylus when I'm drawing. I don't want to fucking have to draw really hard. I want to be able to go about, I'd love to be able to go halfway. I have enough control on my pen and enough stylus, I have skill in stylus use over the years that I know how to use the first 50% of the stylus pressure as the only really extent of what I want. But really you can only go to, what is this, like 30%? So that means that this ignores the last 30% of pressure, okay? Meaning you can get to the maximum size your brush cursor is at the 70% mark. So if I want to go from tiny to the thickest, I can with a lot less pressure and a lot less heavy-handedness, which I think is actually more ideal than having to constantly press up and down really hard to get maximum. If I didn't want to get maximum pressure, then I would make my brush smaller. Like, you want to be able to use the full extent of your brush size, and this is how I do that. So this is how you tweak this. If you want it to be really heavy and sloppy, you do it like this, and it'll just draw big fat lines, which with little pressure. If you want it to be like the sharpest thing on the planet, you just drag that down here. You just tweak that until it draws exactly how you want it to draw. But that's not how I like it. I like it right around here. That's how I like it. You know, I get thin when I want it. I get thick when I want it. And you just tweak it until it feels right for you. All right, so another option here is Lazy Nozumi. I think there is another one. There's a few other options, okay? Some are free or cheap or whatever. I don't know them offhand. I know Lazy Nozumi is a pay-for thing. It's kind of worth it. There are issues with it. It's doesn't really play nice with Sai. It has a lot of, it chokes when you start drawing too fast. It starts choking. It fights with Sai's own interpolation, brush softening stuff. So it's tricky to use, and it's a little complicated, as you can see all this garbage here, all this gobbledygook. So I can't do a whole review on this, and there's a ton of documents on this. I can if people really want me to, but it's kind of an atom bomb here for something that's really simple. And it really doesn't always do what it should be doing, so I can't 100% say this is the way you should do it. It's good for something like Photoshop that's got zero interpolation, which is kind of ridiculous, but it has interpolation, but it has this weird pseudo, anyway, it doesn't work great and you have zero control over it. This kind of hijacks that and lets you do more than what Photoshop thinks is the only option you should have for your input from your tablet device. So, you know, use this if you gotta. I have it because not every single program handles Wacom Digitizer inputs very well, and if you want to resolve that, this is probably your best situation instead of relying on the software. I'm not going to cover Photoshop because I don't know if it's hidden or not, or it keeps moving, or I don't know if it exists. Photoshop's ability to manage the stylus input is abysmal and always has been. It's almost worse than the Flash one, so let's not even fucking deal with that right now. What we can deal with is if you use Sai, I can show you a few things. Mostly that you can modify this in several spots. One being right up here. And now people, here's first thing. When you ask someone what stabilizer setting they use, it's non-information. Here's why. 8 on this machine I'm using right now is completely different than 8 on the two other machines I have. I think it's based on the computer cycle or whatever, but there was a time 15 was slow as hell, but computers keep getting faster and 15 is too fast almost now to really interpolate properly. The S's would be nicer if they didn't do this weird thing when you lift up your pen and just stroke up really fast. I'd love to have more slower options. That's kind of where Lazy Nozomi shows up. So you've got that, but there's more you can do here. You've got, additionally, for each pen, you have a few options. You can set it by default, the stroke stabilizer, which I've actually set a few that I always want to be really fast, like hatching pens to 2 or 3, because I don't want to have to change the stabilizer every time I want to do a hatch. You can also do pressure stabilizer, which is actually only available in the brush, is not available anywhere else. And this changes the thickness. This helps eliminate shoelacing and other issues, but it brings its own set of issues. One of them is that when you lift up your stylus, it sticks and it sometimes like to trail off into little tails that you have no control over. And it gets worse the more stroke stabilizer you have. So you have to kind of babysit these two values, or this value and this value. But it's worth dealing with to get really good line results. Additionally, most tools will give you this little doodad over here. And this little doodad over here is really a lot of control per brush, more so than most programs allow, but almost all the Japanese drawing programs allow this, which means that this is on top of your Wacom digital settings, digitizer settings for pressure. On top of all that, you can now hijack those values and make your brush behave hard or soft, which is the same thing as before, where hard meaning, you know, you get a small little tiny point that goes thicker and thicker with a lot of pressure, or soft means it's always very fat tip brush. And it's really neat that you can actually modify this per brush in a very simple, easy spot. So you can do that as well. If you combine tweaking your stylus hardware, your Wacom digitizer settings, and this, you should be able to get your brush to behave exactly like you want. But beware, the thing is each one of these styluses you get aren't consistent. So I actually have 3 styluses and I use them based on what I'm doing. I have one I like to use for sketching because it's soft. And I like to use another one with the spring tip stylus nib because it has a lot more give and subtle pressure that allows for more refined inks. So you have to decide, you know, additionally to verify that more than one brush behaves one way. And to be honest, if I only had one stylus and it behaved one way and I didn't know any better, I get really frustrated because the stylus isn't behaving like how I want to, and I'd be blaming myself probably when I should just be blaming the inconsistent hardware. So what you do is you have at least 2 of these styluses and you test them and you get them to where you need them and you pick the one you like using most, and then you verify where it works for you. But the reality is the hardware and the software matches you. You shouldn't have to fit into it. And that's that. These steps and the what I've mentioned so far in this video will help you kind of get to where you need to be so that you aren't fighting with your lines all the time.